you will just turn in our Bibles to Book of Revelation, chapter 3 here. We're actually coming to the close of this Sardesian church age. I believe this will be the last lesson tonight, and then we'll be picking up in Philadelphia. But I've certainly thoroughly enjoyed it, and just each lesson just brings something rich for us just to kind of focus on. Let's just pick up these scriptures, and then we will again be looking at verse 5 and 6 tonight as we bring this to a close. Verse 1 in Revelation 3 says, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." All right. Want to just kind of go back and just hit just a couple things from our lesson. Remembering we have four groups that we would say that pertain to the Book of Life. One is this group that would never have their names erased, and I just by faith claim that we're all a part of that group. There is another group that would be that would have their names in the Lamb's Book of Life, but would have their names erased because they have rejected the Word of God. Judas would be a part of that because the Scripture actually was spoke of him being with the disciples when they came back, rejoicing because they was casting out devils. And Jesus said, "Don't rejoice because you know devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your name is written in heaven, which is where the Lamb's Book of Life is kept." So there's a group that would have their names in there, but have their names taken out because they rejected the Word. And Brother Branham told us that many in this day will end up in that category because of them rejecting the Word. Many in Jesus' day rejected the Word. Many in Moses' day rejected the Word. I was just reading a scripture today, especially Moses' day, when Moses came out of the mount. And he had the Ten Commandments, but, he was gone for 40 days. And by the time he got back down, the people had come to Aaron and had Aaron set up some false gods. And when they set up these false gods, they were rejecting the one true living God, right? They were rejecting the one true living God. And Moses came down and he had to make a declaration and say, "Who's on the Lord's side? Let them come to me." And when they came, especially the tribe of Levi, they said, "We with you, Moses." And Moses said, "I'll take your sword and go through the camp and pretty much kill anybody that is actually, worshiping that golden calf." So names would be removed even though they were written. And that's because they reject the Word of the Lord. So we got to be very careful with that. There's also a group that will receive eternal life because they were kind to the brethren. I actually gave you all some examples of that. I'll give you another example of something that just happened. Somebody called me and told me there was a gentleman that came into this brother's place of business, and when he came in, he said, "Do you mind saying a word of prayer for me?" And, he says, sure, I'll say a word of prayer. And, sometimes people ask us to do that, and we would say, "Yeah, I'll say a word of prayer for you." But what happens is that we actually forget later on, you know, to say the prayer. And maybe the next time we see them as they're approaching us, you know, that's when the prayer, oh, Father, remember that request that they had, God, you know, hey, I was just praying for you, right? You know how people do that. Well, what this brother did is he decided, you know, this man asked me to pray for him. I'm going to pray for him right now. So he went, he walked with him outside. And when he walked outside, he says, you know, let's just pray, you know, right here. You know, so he prayed, you know, over the man and just, you know, didn't think any more of it. Well, you know, later on the man would come back in the business and he would see other people say, you know, this guy right here is the real thing. If you need prayer, he'll pray for you, you know. And he's testifying, you know, about the brother. Well, the man didn't let it stop there. He had a burden in his heart that he wanted to do something for this brother because of that prayer, you know, that was made. And he decided, he said, I want to come to your house and I want to see your house because I'd like to try to paint your house for you. And he say, you know, he walked to the house. He finally, you know, got him over there. And he's like, well, I can't really afford to pay anything. He's like, no, I just want to see it. I just want to see it. So when he finally got to the house and he sat down and he says, okay, I want y'all to sit down. He say, I've been wanting to do something for y'all because of that prayer that you prayed for me. And you don't have to pay me nothing. I'm going to paint your whole house for free inside and outside. Right. And, you know, when you look at a person like that doing something kind to the brethren, might not even be a born-again Christian, but God remembers things like that, right? And, you know, and I gave you also other examples of different things that I know that happened right here in our church. People that don't even walk, have never even stepped foot in this church, but some of the kind things that they've done for this church, God remembers that. There's curtains. There's a man that did the curtains, did that, the scripture on the back wall, you know, hung the signs in front of the church. Man never charged the church anything. God remembers people like that, right? So, you know, when Brother Branham brings those truths out, all of us have people that kind of cross our paths and they do that, you know. So they will be a part of that group that will receive eternal life at the second resurrection. And finally, the last group of those that names that were never even written, you know, in the book of life, people like Pharaoh, their names were never even written there. And we were discussing it as a Sunday school class and come to, you know, just kind of thinking about others whose names probably was not written there. And we, you know, thought about Cain. His name probably was not written there either. So let's just kind of, I want to go over this really quick. Let's see here. I'm going to slide. All right. I'm just going to move forward here and then, okay, so again, just want to kind of go back through this again. Brother Branham made the comment in the Church Age book, to understand the subject even more clearly, it would now be wise to approach it from the standpoint of the church through the ages. Up until now, we have been thinking in terms of the removal of the names of individuals. Now we want to consider not the individuals, but the groups represented in the church. To do so, we will liken the church through the ages to the wheat plant. Right, so we're looking at the groups through the ages represented in the church. he made a comment here, and he told us that what we need to do is just kind of look at to say that the whole record is of the wheat plant, whose end is to reproduce the original seed and multiply it form, is the book of life. So the record of this wheat plant, whose end is to reproduce the original seed and multiply form, is the book of life. It says, I repeat, the history or record of this wheat plant is the book of life, of which a part of the book of life is the record of eternal life, a section of the book of life. So I've just kind of gone through that, and when we think about the church, and I want you to just when we think about the Sardesian church age in particular, this was an age, one of the greatest things that happened in the history of the church occurred in this age, and that was when Martin Luther went to the Catholic Church door and nailed his 95 theses to the door, and that started a reformation, you know, and actually because of that great event, there's so many people still so tied to that, to the Reformation. I think that's good, but we also need to understand that the Reformation was not the restoration, all right? What we're living in is the day of the restoration. Thank God for the Reformation, but we're more excited about the restoration, right? That's where we are now. So, you know, and, you know, I was just in a conversation on Saturday, you know, these guys got to talking about a little something, and as they began to talk, I saw one start going towards Arminian teachings, you know, and then another one start going towards Calvinistic teachings, and I'm like, well, you know, there's a middle of the road, and that's what Brother Branham did, was come right down the middle of the road. You know, one saying that, you know, God predestinates everything. You don't have any choice in it at all. God knows exactly what's going to happen. He kind of like has us like puppets, and we're just doing whatever he wants to do. I said, no, that's not what God done. And then another one saying, no, you just got complete free choice. God ain't got nothing to do with what what decisions you make. I said, no, that ain't it either. It's right down the middle of the road where God already knew what decisions you was going to make. So based on him already knowing, he could predestinate. Right, God is all-knowing God. So you know, this restoration of the word kind of brings us back right into the middle of a lot of things that people have lost over the years. But here in the Sardesian Church Age, with Martin Luther being the messenger, that's what sprung forth the Lutheran denomination. And from that Lutheran denomination, you think about the Baptists. You think about Episcopalians, you name a whole bunch of them that just sprung up from all of that. Even we were looking at one called Anabaptist, who happens to be, I believe, the Mennonites, right? So all of this stuff sprung up from that time period when you go back in history. But later on, you know, the Lutherans pulled away from the word, and God raised up Wesley, and the Wesleyans are the Methodist Church, right? That's where the Methodist Church came in. Well, Methodists pulled away from the word of God, and then next thing you know, the Pentecostals came in. Well, when the Pentecostals began to pull away, that was the restoration of the word seed. And when we look at this, Brother Branham said the Lutherans represented this stalk. Now, when you're growing wheat, you first have to start, you know, in the soil. It first is a blade of grass, right? That blade is what's in my hand, but from that blade of grass comes this stalk. That's the Lutheran denomination coming forth, right? And then he says the Wesleys represent this tassel. So when this wheat is growing, all of this is a part of the wheat plant. You got to have stalk, you got to have tassel, and then you got to have husk. That's all part of the entire process, right? So you got the stalk, you got the tassel, and then you got these little things here called the husk or the shuck. But inside of that is the seed, and this is what I mean. We come through Lutheran, we come through Baptist, we come through Pentecost, we come through all that. But God was protecting that seed that was on the inside of us through all of that. That's what brought us out to this message, because we were seed. Look. And non-seed, there is nothing to quicken. Church, I tell you, when you just begin to think about this, you can't help but love God. You can't help but love God. I mean, sometimes my mind just go and I just think about all the people that I was in church with, different ones. Man, I remember being a little boy and we singing on TV and all kind of stuff together. We just, man, you know. It was really something, really special. And I just think about all the people that were part of that church, and some of them that's still a part. Ain't even thinking about leaving. Ain't thought about leaving in 50 years, right? And families grew up, and they just stuck right there in that church. But to see what God has brought us out into, this to me is I'm just blessed. We're all absolutely blessed. However, when we realize that we're true wheat seed, we had to have the Lutheran experience, we had to have the Methodist experience, and we also had to have the Pentecostal experience. So don't discredit it all, because it was all a part of your growth. Oh, glory to God. every bit of it was a part of your growth. So you can't look down on them. I mean, they were carriers, what we call carriers of the seed. Glory to God. All right, let's go on a little further here. Let me just remind you of who you are, and then we'll move on to where I want to go for tonight. Okay, so Brother Branham said the names, there are no names that would be blotted out of the book of eternal life, right? And when we're talking about that, we're talking about that wheat seed that's on the inside. That's the group that's a part of the section of the book of life where their names cannot be blotted out. And in this group, he identifies with certain characteristics. Says she was in him, as Eve was in Adam. She cannot ever have her member names taken off the record. She is part of him. She is in the throne. That means she's going to judge even angels, right? Everyone in the bride is a member of him, and he loses none. She can never be judged. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. See, that's when we make the statement, I come from God and I'm going back to God. I was also, even when he told Jeremiah, he said, before you was even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you and ordained you to be a prophet, right? If God could tell Jeremiah that, what do you think him telling us, the bride? He knew us, right? She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by his blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be in the judgment because sin cannot be imputed unto her. She shall be with him in his throne of judgment, judging the world and even angels. Her name, each of her members, was written in a section of the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. I love that. And those who have that life were in him before the foundation of the world. They were chosen to him before the foundation of the world. That's talking about us. All right. Praise the Lord. Now, Brother Branham made a statement here, and we read it earlier. He said, let it be known. This is on page 266, paragraph 3 in your church age book. He said, let it be known that there's not one scripture that teaches that God is presently compiling a record of names. That's not what's happening. This was all done before the foundation of the world. So he's not presently compiling a record of names, and he's not, nothing surprising God, right? If somebody rejecting the word, oh, their name been taken off, that didn't surprise God. God already knew that was going to happen before the foundation of the world. So he's not presently compiling. However, Brother Branham says there is a scripture pointing to a future compilation of names. Now, he's not presently compiling, but there is a scripture pointing to a future compilation of names. So let's look at that scripture. Turn with me to Psalms 87, and let's read. This scripture pertains to the future compilation of names. Psalms 87. Verse 5 and verse 6 are the scriptures that he's referring to here. It says, and of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her. So this is a future compilation of names. This and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. So when you look at that word writing up, it's registering. When he writeth up the people, that this man was born there, Salah. So Brother Branham say this refers to a future compilation of names. And I want to read, a quote in a second, just to give you a quick answer on that. He says, what is this? We look at this future compilation of names, but what is it? He says, is not simply the revised roll wherein God simply places in a new record those names which remain after It says, is it not simply the revised role wherein God simply places in a new record those names which remained after the second resurrection and pertained to Zion? Surely that is it. So it's just those names that actually never were removed from the book. Those are the names that we're talking about here in the scripture. Let's read the full quote there. Page 285, paragraph 2 in your church age book. All right, page 285, paragraph 2, and it says this, in concluding the subject for this time, let me refer to a statement made at its beginning wherein I said that not one scripture spoke of the Lord presently compiling a record of names. That is indeed so. However, there is a scripture pointing a future compilation. It is in the 87th Psalm. This psalm speaks of the Lord writing up the names of all those born in Zion. On no account can it be presumed that God has to wait until the end of the ages or that period of time dealing with Zion in order to know who all might be born in Zion. Again, that would preclude omniscience, right? Him being all-knowing. That would preclude omniscience. Surely he knows who all comprise that number. But what is it? Is it not simply the revised role wherein God simply places in a new record those names which remain after the second resurrection and pertain to Zion? Surely that is it. So it's, again, it's the revised role of those whose names were never even written. God just has a new record of those names. That's all it is. So let's go on a little further as we bring this to a close tonight. Next quotes that I'm probably going to share are quite lengthy, but nonetheless, I think are very, very good quotes. The scripture tells us there in Revelation 3 and 5 says, I will confess his name before my Father. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The prophet made a statement. It says, now I have been told by those who know that the sweetest sound to a human ear is the sound of that person's name. How people love to have their names before the public. How they love acclaim, but no earthly voice will ever sound your name as sweetly as will the voice of God if your name is in the book of life and remains there to be revealed before the holy angels. And, you know, I think all of us could probably say amen to our names being called in public. Especially if it's called for something good, you know, we try to be humble. You know, we try to act humble. But we know that we don't mind our name being called in public for something good. And if your name was written and it stayed there, it was not removed, trust me, you'll be pretty happy about it, right? Amen. But here, let's just read the quote on this, and then I got a couple of quotes that I'm going to bring into this section, just to kind of talk about names being called before the angels. All right, let's look here on page 286. And I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. Roll call in heaven. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands. The great shepherd is calling the sheep by name. The creative voice of God is calling them forth from the dust or changing their atoms, even though they had not fallen asleep. It is the rapture. It is the great marriage supper of the Lamb and his bride. But the rapture is not only the only roll call. There at the second resurrection, at the great white throne judgment, will names be confessed before the Father and his angels. Now I have been told by those who know that the sweetest sound to a human ear is the sound of that person's name. How people love to have their names before the public. how they love acclaim, but no earthly voice will ever sound your name as sweetly as will the voice of God. If your name is in the book of life and remains there to be revealed before the holy angels, what a day that will be when we hear Jesus say, Father, they confessed my name before men in the days of their earthly pilgrimage. Now I will confess their names before thee and all the heavenly angels. There's this quote that I've always shared with you all on this particular scripture, and I wanted to just read it for you. Brother Branham talks about this particular individual by the name of Daniel Curry, who happened to be an evangelist that had a dream, and he shared something. And he also, in some quotes, you might hear the name Danny Greenfield. All right, Danny Curry or Danny Greenfield, sometimes he mixes the names up, but nonetheless, the story is still consistent. It says this: not long ago, evangelists passed through the country, the Middle East, 50 years ago, called Daniel Curry. He had a dream one night that he had died, and he went up to heaven. Let me just do something here real quick. Make it a little easier for me to read. Okay, it says, and he was there in the presence of God at the gate. He said, there was a man came out at the gate and said, who are you? And he said, I am Daniel Curry. I'm an evangelist. I've come to possess my heavenly possessions. Said, just a moment, Mr. Curry. The gatekeeper read and went in and said, Mr. Curry, I'm sorry, your name is not on my books. Oh, he said, you must be mistaken. Said, I'll look again. Said, no, Mr. Curry, your name's not here. Or he said, I won thousands of souls for Christ. I stood for Christ for years. Surely, surely my name's there. He said, I'm sorry, sir, but you'll have to depart from the gate. He said, unless you want to appeal your case. If you want to appeal your case to the great white throne, you may do it. Well, he said, I have no other choice. Well, he said, all right, you can appeal before the white throne. That's the law. So again, this is a dream that this man was having. It says, and said he seemed like he was going for hours just through space. He said in his dream, and after a while he got lighter and lighter. He got slower and slower till finally he stopped right in the midst of this big light. It was coming, not from any certain spot. It was just all light, said, shining thousands of times brighter than the sun. And when he stopped, he heard a voice speak from this light, said, Daniel Curry, when you were in the earth, did you break my laws? Did you ever tell a lie? He said, I thought I'd been an honest man, but said in the presence of that light, I've seen a many thing I told that wasn't right. And brother, sister, that'll be the same thing to you. You may seem all right here, but in the presence of that light. He said, Daniel Curry, did you ever steal? He said, I thought surely I never stole. He said, just getting ready to say no, Lord, and said, when I started to say it, before me come many little shady deals in the presence of that light. It wasn't right. And pretty much what he's saying, how things just, you know, it's revealed in the presence of God, right? And that's why it's so important that as God deals with your heart, make things right now. Don't wait till then. Make it right now. Amen. Listen, he goes on to say, you may be able over your conscience now, but in the presence of God, God's great white throne yonder, oh mercy, brother, I'm satisfied that none of us has even the faintest idea how pure and holy it'll be. And he said, now, Lord, I told lies. He said, Daniel Curry, to come into my place, a man has to be perfect. In your lifetime, Daniel Curry, were you perfect? He said, no, Lord, I wasn't perfect. And said he was just waiting for that great blast to say, depart from me. And when he was just getting ready to hear that, said, seemed like every bone went out of joint and he couldn't stand any longer. Then said he heard the sweetest voice that he had ever heard in all of his life. It was sweeter than any mother's voice that ever called a child. And said when he turned, he saw the sweetest face he ever saw. There was no face of a mother that could express such love, and said, it was the Lord Jesus, and he come and put his arms around me, and he said, Father, that's true. Daniel Curry wasn't perfect in the earth. Daniel Curry did many mistakes and things that was wrong, but he said, Father on earth, Daniel Curry stood for me. Now here in heaven, I'm going to stand for Daniel Curry. take all that's against him and put it on my charge yonder. And so you think about when the scripture says, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. This man's dream was a fulfillment kind of that scripture, how it was confessed. Like, you know, he did this on earth for me, and now here in heaven, I'm going to stand for him. I tell you what, if I did end up at the white throne judgment, I would sure want that to be my end result, right, that I confess. But I don't believe I'm going to be there. I'd be in the seat with judgment. Amen. Let's go on a little bit further with him in judgment, I should say. The sixth seal, there's a statement, a couple of statements that Brother Branham makes here. And again, this is about confessing. He said, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Very, very powerful quote here. Allows us to kind of look over beyond the curtain of time and see some things that, you know, and this is another reason why I thank God for a prophet. The experiences that the prophet has helps us to understand heaven a little bit better. It helps us to understand the dimensions a little bit better. It helps us to understand even what hell is like, you know, because of the experiences that he had. I trust those experiences. You know, you get a lot of people with all kind of dreams and experiences. One little fellow say he went to heaven, and heaven was just full of theme parks, and he wrote a book about it. And people just, it sold millions of copies about all the theme parks that he saw in heaven. And I'm like, no, that ain't what it's like. You know, heaven ain't got nothing to do with no theme parks, but people just going and just buying it up, you know. So, but we got a prophet that told us what these things were like, you know. And all we got to do, even when we get a little discouraged, go back and just read some of this or listen to some of this. I tell you what, you can get really, really encouraged. One of the messages that I listened to when my father passed was Things That Are to Be. Brother Branham say some things in that message of like, oh my goodness, you know, he just kind of, and the good thing about it, that was a message that he preached right before he left here. You know, one of the last messages that Brother Branham preached was Things That Are to Be right before he got called on to the other side. But it gave us a glimpse of what it's going to be like. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. This is something else that he did. Now, years ago, we used to have our seven seals books, and the book in the sixth seal had cut off at a certain point. And then for some reason, years later, they made a decision, you know, add the rest of that message into there, you know, and reproduce that book. So we got the reproduced books now, and now it has this particular quote that I'm going to read in there. But if you got one of the older books, you might not find this in there. But the newer seals books will have this quote in there. Let's look at it. Notice what he says. I think the tapes is off now. And I just got about 3 or 4 minutes. I want to talk to you. Is that all right? Says, now this is just personal. See, because tomorrow, that's going to be so tremendous. I think I just better say it now. See what I'm going to say. This is just for us now. Says, I was just, you know, I got a wife that I love, and that's Mita. And I would not have even married her because of my love for my first wife. And yet, as much as I cared for her, I wouldn't have married her if it hadn't been God told me to do it. And you know the story of it, how she went to pray. So what happened was that Brother Branham was in this friendship with courtship with her, and then he broke the courtship off and said, you know, I'm not good enough to have, you know, a lady like you. And she got a little bothered by that, so she went to pray. And she said, Lord, I believe that he's supposed to be my husband, but I need you to show me in the scripture, give me something that I can hold on to, a promise that I can hold on to. That says that he's my husband. So she stuck her finger in the Bible, closed her eyes, stuck her finger in the Bible, and opened the Bible, and she read Malachi 4. Behold, I send you Elijah, the prophet. And she took it personal. She said, God told me that he sent me Elijah, the prophet. Well, within a few months, she was married to Elijah, the prophet. But she was holding on to that promise. And God also told Brother Branham to marry her, and he actually even gave him the date to marry her on. October 23rd, he told him to marry her on October 23rd. So that's what he's referring to when he says, you know the story of it, how she went to pray and how I did, and then he told me exactly what to do and go marry her and set the time to do it. She's a lovely woman, and she's praying for me tonight, and so now it's 8 o'clock at home. She's probably praying now. Now notice, and the other thing, if you go and study the message, you'll find out that a lot of times, most of the time, on the anniversary, Brother Branham is always out hunting, always out hunting. I know it's not many sisters in this world that would be able to handle that, right? But nonetheless, God had purpose for everything that he did in his life, and she had the right demeanor to be able to just kind of accept what the Lord was doing in his life. There's times where he'd be in a room for hours, and she could tell when to go in that room and when not to go in that room. She was sensitive to the Spirit of God like that. I think we all got to learn to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. Look, it says, now notice one day she said to me, she said, Bill, she said, I just want to ask you a question about heaven. I said, all right, Mita, what is it? She said, you know I love you. I said, yeah, it was right after this happened up here. She said, you know that Hope loved you too, because he was married, his first wife, but she passed away. Says, and I said, yeah. And she said, now, I don't think I would be jealous, she said, but Hope was. And she said, she was there. And now when we get to heaven, you said you seen her there. I said, she was there. I seen her twice there. She's there. She's waiting for me to come. So's Sharon. I seen her just the same. I'm looking at you. I seen her there. And I said, she said, well, now, when we get over there, I said, which one is going to be your wife? I said, both of you. Think about that. Both of you. Says, there won't be any. See, you both be. She said, I can't understand it. Now, you know, as we go further now, I just want to read a scripture here. Because he said that both of them would be his wife. Turn to Matthew 22 and 30. I remember reading the scripture years ago, and then running across this quote, and I tell you what, it make you pray. Here in Matthew 22:30, it says this: "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." They neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. So now Brother Branham just told her in this quote, he's answering her question, said both of them are going to be his wife. Now, but the scripture said that they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God. So let's just kind of look at that a little bit more. Praise the Lord. So he goes on and he says, I said, both of you, there won't be any, yet both of you be, she said, notice it, I said, both of you, there won't be any, see, yet both of you would be. She said, I can't understand it. I said, now, honey, sit down, let me explain something to you. I said, now, I know you love me, and you know how I love you, in respects and honor. Now, for instance, what if I dressed up, went down, and some little prostitute, real pretty, and come and throw her arms around me and say, oh, Brother Branham, I sure love you. Started putting her arms around me, hugging me. What did you think? You know, what would you think? She said, I don't think I like that very well. And I said, I want to ask you something. Who do you love the best if it had to be a showdown, me or the Lord Jesus? Now, this is family talking. She said, the Lord Jesus said, yes, Bill, as much as I love you, before I would give him up, I'd give you up. I said, thank you, honey. I'm glad to hear you say that now. I said, now, what if that same little woman would come up to Jesus and throw her arms around him, say, Jesus, I love you. What would you think about that? She said, I'd enjoy that. See, it changes from phileo to agape. See, it's a higher love. So when you read that scripture Matthew 22, it's talking about something much higher than what we're thinking about in our minds, right? And he goes on a little bit further. He said, it's a higher love. See, and there's no such thing as husband and wife as to raise children. It's all gone. It says the female and male sex, the glands are all they're all the same there. And that's why I say we'd be like the angels, right? Because they're all the same. Just that scripture alone, that quote alone, should stop people from thinking that it was angels that came down in Noah's day, right? They say the sons of God saw the daughters of men. They're saying the angels came down and had children from the women on the earth. That ought to blow that right on out of the water. There was no angels coming down. They don't have those desires. Angels don't have that. When we talk about the sons of God, you talk about Adam's lineage. That's what you're talking about. Seeing the daughters of men, which was Cain's lineage. All right, listen. It says they're all the same there. See, there's none of it no more. See, there's no sex glands at all, not at all. See, you're just think of yourself without a sex gland. The reason they were put in us is to repopulate the earth, you see. But there won't be any there. There won't be neither male nor female glands. It's gone. But the statue of the art of God will be there. And that's why Brother Branham said when he went over there and all the sisters was coming up and hugging him and my precious brother and the brothers coming and hugging him, they say that those glands were gone. It was no problem. But he said, now, on this side, you can't be doing all that hugging like that, right? Brothers and sisters hugging like that because those glands are there and that creates problems, okay? So it says here, it says, but that statue of the art of God will be there. That's exactly right. But will be truly genuine, no phileo at all agape. See, therefore a wife would be no more than just some lovely something that's yours and you belong to each other. There's no such thing as husband. No, there's not even. See, the phileo part's not even there at all. See, there can't be anything like a jealousy. There's nothing to be jealous about. Glory to God. There ain't no such a thing there. You never know such a thing as that. See, just as lovely young men and young women to live. And then after that, she said, I see it now, Bill. I said, yes. Now, he goes on to give a little bit more detail of something that happened. Why could he say that? Experience that he had. Says, I want to tell you a little something. A little thing happened. This was a dream. I was asleep. And I've never told this publicly before. I've told it to a couple of people, but never publicly before, as I know of. I dreamed about a month after that I was standing one day and I was watching the great time that, not the judgment now, I don't believe the church ever comes to, I mean the bride goes to judgment, but I was there when the crowns was being given out, see? And the great big throne set up and Jesus and the recording angel was all standing there and there were stair steps like coming down this way of white ivory, run down in a circle and made a panoramic like this and went out so that all this great host standing out there could see what was happening. And I was standing back over there, way back to one side, and I was just standing there, never an idea I had to walk them steps. I was standing there, and I see a recording angel would call a certain name, and I know, recognize that name. I looked, and way back out there, here come the brother walking, or the sister. Walk up here like that, the recording angel standing there by the side of Christ, just a dream now, and was watching, and their names was on there. It was found in the book of life. He'd look out over them and say, it was well done, my good and faithful servant. Now enter in. I looked back where they was going. There was a new world and the joys and enter into the joys of the Lord that's been for yours since the foundation world. See, and oh, I thought they go through there and meet one another just rejoicing, going over mountains and great big places. I thought, oh, isn't that wonderful? Glory, hallelujah, just jumping up and down. Now he's rejoicing over other people going in. Notice, then I hear another name called. I would say, oh, I know him. There he goes. There, watch him right up. Enter into the joys of the Lord, my good. And, I said, praise God. Just think like they would say, Orman Neville. See, and then I say, that's old brother Neville. There he is. And here he come out of the crowd, goes up. I hear him say, enter into the joys of the Lord that's been prepared for you since before the foundation of the world. Enter in. And old brother Neville just changed and just start back, and they're just screaming and hollering. Boy, I just shout and say glory to God, standing over here by myself, having a wonderful time watching my brethren go in. And a recording angel stood and said, William Branham, I never thought I'd have to walk that. So then I was scared. I thought, oh, my, will I have to do that? So I went walking down there, and just everybody patting me on like that. I said, hi, Brother Branham. God bless you, Brother Branham, patting me as I go along through a great big crowd of people, and all of them reaching over and patting me like that. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. I was going. I said, thank you, thank you, thank you. Like coming out of a meeting or something, you know, and I was going to have to walk these great big ivory steps. I started walking up through there, and just as I made the first step, I stopped and I thought, I looked at his face and I thought, I want to get a good look at him this way, and I stopped. I had my hands like this. I felt something slip in my arm here. It was somebody else's arm. I looked around, and there stood Hope. That was his first wife. There stood Hope, those big black eyes and that dark hair hanging down her back, white robe on, looking up at me like that. I said, Hope? I felt something hit this arm, the other arm. Looked around, and there was Mita. That dark eyes looking up and that black hair hanging down, a white robe on. I said, Mita? And they looked at one another, you know, like that. I got them in my arms, and here we went home. I woke up, and I got up and sat down in the chair and cried, you know. I thought, oh, God, I hope that comes like that, both associated with me in life and bringing children and things like that. And here we are walking into the new world. Oh, my, we're perfection and everything. No, nothing. Why? It's going to be a wonderful thing. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. By the grace of God, do all you can do, and then it'll be up to God to take care of the rest of it then. My. I just, you know, thinking about this scripture where it says that he'll confess his name before the Father and before angels, I just wanted to bring, you know, that in. Brother Branham just gives a much clearer picture, you know, as to what occurred. And there his wife just, you know, Mita, having concern, like, now you done shared this all over the world about how you saw Hope on the other side, you know, and here she come running up to you, and Sharon Rose come running up to you, and they saw some of the animals that he had on his side up there, and the old rocking chair that was taken, you know, he saw all of these things, you know, on the other side. But here Mita's wondering, well, you know, when we get there, who's going to be your wife? Will it be her or will it be me? And God showed us, they know both of you, but it won't be the way it is down here. The reason that we get married down here is for procreation, you know. But there is, you're like the angels. You don't even have those glands in you. And the love that you have for one another is a love that will not produce any type of jealousy. Church, I want to do everything I can to get there. And you know what the prophet said? He said, only perfect love will enter there. Only perfect love will enter there. And if there was ever time to get our hearts right, that time is right now. If there's time to do a checkup, this is the time we got to do a checkup. Like I read about Daniel Curry. I mean, you know, rather than wait to that side to find out if you stole or you cheated, you did this, you did, do it right now. God, if there's something in my life that you're not pleased with, reveal it to me so I can make that thing right. If there's somebody I need to talk to, somebody I need to forgive, somebody, Lord, whatever it is, I don't want nothing to stop me from being able to enter into a place like that. My God. This last quote, last slide, I should say. Can you do next for me? Scripture says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. It says, once more, the Spirit has spoken. Once again, we have reviewed the record of what the Spirit said to another age. And we have found the record correct. Another age has gone by, and it was fulfilled exactly as he said it would be. What a consolation that is to us who hope to be in the last day bride. For it causes our hearts to leap for joy that he is faithful and will perform his every promise. If he was faithful and true to those of the Sardesian age, then he is just as true to this our age. If they, by his grace and power, will be received and commended by him, then so will we. Let us go, therefore, to perfection and meet the Lord in the air and be forever with him. Praise the Lord. Well, we've brought this to an end. Next week, we'll be starting the Philadelphian Church Age, talking about the city and the messenger. And our reading will be found on page 287 through 290 in our Church Age book. And I encourage you just to read through that section, and then you'll be right in tune with what we'll be discussing on next week. My God, my God, I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. I long to experience what the prophet just shared. And remember, I told you they actually didn't put that in the original book. It was cut out. But thank God somebody went back around and said, you know, let's put it back in there. They turned the tapes off, but somebody kept recording. That's really good. That was a good quote, you know, to have. And I'm so glad that it's shared so all of us would know now what to look forward to. We got so much to look forward to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for a prophet that just brings, Lord, these truths to us. No doubt, God, our hearts and our minds just begin to go from place to place as we think on these things that we read. The love, Lord, that we are just not familiar with, but it's something that we long to have. I think sometimes we try to have that kind of love for one another, but Lord, only the love of God in our hearts can give us that type of love. It's a much higher love. And God, our prayer is that you would give us that love for one another, that you would begin to reveal to us, Lord, as individuals, if there's anything in our lives that's displeasing to you, if there's things that we need to make right with one another, God, let us do those things. Don't let us wait too late while the Spirit of God is dealing with us. God, may we make things right. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would, God, you would just continue to draw us closer to you through the revelation of your word. May you continue to get honor and glory from Lord, this truth that you bring to our hearts. May it not just be something that go in one ear and out the other, but may it bring manifestation in our hearts and in our lives. We give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.